malam. You know, the question then can be asked, how does that happen? Because the boundaries of that area called Bushbuck Ridge have been moved to Mpumalanga from Limpopo at a local government level. But in terms of province and national, it still remains, they remain in Limpopo up until 2009, thereafter the change. But you might find then that there is no province, then the province will be one. Therefore, you should be part of a new provincial arrangement. So that's what will happen. Next to me, I have the man who makes things happen, the gentleman who ensures that we meet. He's called Mario Baggi. It's a very interesting name, you know, Baggi. He's based here, but originally his elders are coming from the district 6 here of Baggi. Then on his right was Mr. Ford Holiday. He's a person who checks that I'm online and looks at after my program. Mr. Ford Holiday. He's a veteran, you can see, as a gentleman. But he's still studying, he's doing project management. He's telling us he's passing through courses and so on. He's doing very well. It means that we seem to be full of blame, you know. You don't say you're old, therefore you can't study. Even veterans, they look at the book. That's the team that we have. The gentleman there is from the PMG, the Parliamentary Monitoring Group that works with us in Parliament. Over to you. I'm not sure whether Lucas is the leader of the delegation. Whether Mr. Nigel is of the delegation, you saw that on our amongst yourself and introduce your team. So thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. By and large, my name is Nathan Nader, I'm General Manager of Finance. We'd like firstly to thank the committee for this opportunity, but also extend our apologies on behalf of the CEO. Mr. Mokuso of the month. He's been prepared to take over the DG role at Home Affairs. Lucas, by and large, is my colleague here, GM in Strategic Services. He would run with the main body of the presentation, and on the budget side of things, that's where I would come in.
Okay. The lady left you there. I know her, but I think the committee must
benefit. Tanya Ibrahim is CSIS Government Liaison Officer.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. It's an honor for me to present in front of you. I will be taking you through the overall history of CISA and the background information in summary format, and then we'll go into more detailed information on the issue at hand. So I will be introducing CISA and how CISA was formed, focusing mainly on its mandate, and look at the transformation of CISA, how CISA changed from the beginning when it was formed, when Mabuso Msimang, our current CEO, our outgoing CEO, came into play, and then go through the activities that took place in between up to today. Basically, CISA was formed in 1998 by the CISA Act, which was subsequently amended in 2002. The way CISA is funded is based on the way it has been enacted. Basically, CISA is a Schedule 3A public company, and it has to be financially self-sustainable through the products and services that we provide to have many questions. The main objective of CETA basically is to improve service delivery to the public and to promote the efficiency of departments and public bodies through the use of ICT and related services, and ensure that whenever we provide those services to our government departments, they are provided in a very secure environment. The main gist of the way CETA was formed is shown through the House of Values. Basically, ultimately, CETA must ensure that it lowers costs for government, it increases the productivity of government, and ensures that citizens are convenient in the way they have to access services, government services. And to be able to do that, we have to ensure that everything we provide, all ICT goods and services provided, are secure. The government's ICT systems can interoperate. Ultimately, we'll be able to reduce duplication of efforts if we ensure that all ICT goods and services that are procured within government are all procured through CETA. I'm going to quickly go through our mission and vision. Basically, our vision is to be a global leader in public sector ICT. And our mission is to cost-effectively enhance public service delivery through ICT. So the way we provide services to government departments must ensure that we save costs for government, and the services that we provide make a difference to government. Our values are service excellence. Basically, we have to excel in the way we provide services to government. Transparency, the way we do business, it must be transparent, it must be all-encompassing. Everybody must have an opportunity to question the way we do business. Integrity is that we must ensure that we do things in a more trustworthy manner, in an honest manner with everyone that we deal with. We must be fair in the way we do things. And prudence means this is more related to the way we do business. It must be as if all citizens within the company must do the CETA business as if it was their own. And innovation means we have to continually change with the changes in ICT to ensure that we provide government departments with up-to-date services. At the high level, our mandated services to government departments are the provision of a private telecommunications network, the provision of transversal systems. An example in this case is the ISMS project that we are currently busy with. The procurement of ICT goods and services. The development of standards, ICT standards, as well as the certification of products and services. Utilizing those standards. The development of an ICT convergence strategy. Disaster recovery strategy for ICT. We have to keep an inventory of ICT goods and services within government. We have to do ICT research within government. And there's a number of related services that we have to do for government departments on request and as agreed between CETA and this particular government department through a business agreement. Looking at the way CETA is constituted, our human resources statistics at the moment, we've got 963 employees broken down into, in terms of Africans, we've got 963, broken down in 541 and 142, 541 males, 142 females. But if you look at the stats here, we are actually well represented. We've got an employment equity program in place to ensure that we are as fully representative as possible. One of our employment equity requirements is for us to have, within the next 3 years, achieve 40% representativity in terms of females. And if you look at our 2010, we are almost there. We have actually achieved it.
If I may ask to add on to my colleague's statement here, this picture here only represents permanent staff. It does not include contractors and learners. Okay, so we just show the permanent picture here.
Then if you look at the next slide, basically this is a list of all our top clients in terms of revenue. Currently our biggest client in terms of revenue is the South African Police Service, which gave us in the previous financial year, in the current year, the previous financial year, 642 million rand, followed by the DOD, and the National Treasury is our lowest account in this regard. And the next slide basically gives us our revenue per business unit. If you look at this, our business unit is based on our coverage of the whole of South Africa, two regions. We have the central region, which includes Gauteng, Northwest, and Limpopo. So Gauteng, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. And but the coastal region, which is KZN, Eastern Cape, and the Western Cape. And the northern region, the northern region, which includes Free State, Northern Cape, Northwest. Yeah. And national departments are all the other departments that are not within the region, the Department of Education and all other national departments. And we've separated the SEP and DOD because they are our major clients in this case, in terms of revenue.
If I can add on to my colleague here, if you look at the previous slide, the SEP figure is 643, and here we've got a figure of 539. The reason for the difference is on the top account, the 643 is the total SEP business. On the next slide, that is the SEP national head office business, but the regional SEP business is sitting within the regional account.
Within CISA, we decided to transform the way the organization does and performs its duties. Hence, we embarked on a transformation program. The reason for that transformation program was to ensure that we change the image of CISA, the way our customers perceive CISA, and the way our employees perceive us, as well as ensure we improve the morale of our employees. And the approach we took in doing that was, first of all, to understand what was happening within CISA and within our client base, and then normalize the situation. That part of the transformation has been completed. Our current strategy within CISA is to rationalize CISA for optimal performance, which has started in the previous financial year. Our strategic objectives basically are to improve service delivery to citizens, to prioritize citizen-centric projects, to drive to the best demonstrated practice in people management and leadership, overall internal and external communication, to build an appropriate organizational structure so that we are able to deliver on our strategy, and to ensure that we are financially sustainable. Our performance today, basically, if you look at in terms of service, our client satisfaction index, when we started with the transformation program in the 2004-2005 financial period, it stood at 47%. The latest one, which was done in February this year, is at 62%, which shows that our customers are increasingly getting satisfied with the services that we provide. Our procurement candidates have reduced from 242 in 2004-2005 to the current figure of an average of 76 days. In terms of finance, our revenue in 2005-2006 was around 2.9 billion rand. Our current revenue is 3.3 billion rand, but this is still subject to, it's still an audited figure. So it might change. This is the figure that the auditors are looking at. In terms of profit before tax, in 2005-2006, our profit was about 2.9%. Currently, it's standing at 4.6%, awaiting the audit. And we've got a number of key projects that we are involved in. There was the gateway. We currently busy with translating the website where people can interrogate that website in any language of their choice. Currently, you can do that in 7 languages. and you can inquire about the services that are provided within government. Within the Department of Home Affairs, we just finalized a project called Check and Trace, whereby through an SMS, you can trace the status of your ID application to see where it is at a particular point in time. There are a number of projects that we do through our R&D department, which are basically looking at citizen convenience. We also have a conference that we started last year called GovTech. And the main purpose of that particular conference is to ensure that we engage with ICT role players in terms of ICT-related issues and topics, so that we can ensure that we share ideas on how we can increase on our thought leadership, so that we can provide government departments with a better service. So we also have GovTech again this year, which will be based in Cape Town in August. Looking at the trends and drivers within ICT, currently the drivers are issues like communication and convergence, which are within South Africa driven by the recent Electronic Communication Act that was finalized in 2005. There are issues around services-oriented architecture, whereby ICT solutions are provided as services. There are issues around e-government, whereby you focus mainly on how you can make it convenient for citizens to access government services. Identity management is issues related to security to ensure that it is easier to identify the person that we deal with. There's open source, where we're looking at issues of ensuring that we utilize the international community as a basis for developing new solutions within open source. There's strategic outcasting and consolidation and partnerships are basically related, whereby in partnership with industry, we form a relationship whereby we can outcast some of the services that we provide to ensure that we stimulate local economic development and build skills within the country. The main objective of our current strategy is basically to ensure that we manage the current operations optimally so that we improve the customer experience of CETA. We also focus on ensuring that internally within CETA there's better operational efficiency and effectiveness. And secondly, we need to reposition CETA to be a leader in the public sector, basically, by ensuring that we accelerate the implementation of e-government. The reason we focus on e-government is because it touches more on the citizens out there. And then we provide thought leadership in ICT, whereby the kinds of solutions that we provide within government, the kind of advice that we give to government departments, is in line with what is happening in the industry and has a future outlook. And then for us to be able to do everything, we cannot do it in a vacuum, so we have to engage with partners in industry, partners in government, to ensure that we provide services where we complement each other in terms of skills, in terms of funding, so that we can together be able to provide those services. The initiatives that we currently have within CETA include a change management program within CETA. We refer to it as Destination to Success, whereby we take our employees on a path to the future CETA, whereby we engage with industry in terms of what is CETA planning to do, what is CETA currently doing, so that together we can bring our heads together and move CETA forward. And in the process of moving CETA forward, government will move forward. We also have a service improvement program whereby we look at the kinds of services that we provide to government departments. And in that process, we ensure that where we see that we're not providing the service as optimal as possible, we come up with initiatives. And then we have embarked on a program to revitalize the e-government program within government, whereby we have taken all the e-government initiatives that were taking place within government, relooked the strategy, and came up with a new strategy, which we are currently busy finalizing. We have a high-level draft of the strategy, and we need to ensure that implementation will be starting during this financial year. Our financial year started last month. for implementation of that e-government strategy will be happening during this financial year. We will also be sharing the programs that will be within that e-government strategy with the Presidential International Advisory Committee, which will be taking place in September this year. So by that time, we shall have already started with some of the initiatives. Currently, our mandate did not incorporate service provision to local government, to municipalities. But if you look at the high-level CISA strategy, it says we must provide citizen convenience. And the citizens are mainly based at municipalities. So we have decided to come up with what we refer to as a municipality blueprint. That is a strategy that ensures that we address pain points that are being felt within municipalities in terms of ICT and in terms of business process. We are currently in the process of implementing this blueprint at some of the municipalities. We had a pilot project which will be starting at Umzungundu in the KZN. So, and there will be other municipalities that will be selected to participate in this pilot project. And then one of our biggest projects that we have at CISA is the Integrated Financial Management System, IFMS. And that's a very big project for CISA. It's a transversal system which we provide to municipalities, which will replace the current logistics system, the bus system, and the IFMS system. The way CISA provides government departments is that the services it provides lie on top of what we call a network, which we refer to the GCN, the Government Common Core Network. For us to be able to provide what you call up-to-date services in line with the new Electronic Communications Act, we need to upgrade our network to what we call a next-generation network, so that we can be able to provide voice over IP, whereby you can phone anybody within government as if it's an internal call, and it will save cost for government. There are other things you can use your cell phone or your landline to do that. So that will save government a lot of money as soon as we have upgraded that network. That's one of the projects that we intend implementing, and that we will have to partner with that because it's a very massive project and will require a skill that exists within our partners in industry to implement the project. Currently, we have formed an open source software project management office to ensure that we implement open source in government departments where it makes business sense. We will not implement it at the expense of service delivery. We will ensure that where it's possible and practical and cost effective, we will implement those solutions within government departments. And then one of the key things that we are doing is what we call industry-wide skill development. Through leveraging on existing projects within CISA, like the IFMS, will ensure that we develop local skills in the process of developing those solutions. We are currently in the process of engaging in industry with a view of forming what we refer to as an ICT academy. As soon as we have got all the input from industry, then we'll move ahead in terms of forming an ICT academy. We cannot do that in isolation from existing projects or programs within government like the ISAP CISA, like SAMDI, and all the other government departments that are dealing with those particular issues. So we are engaging with all key stakeholders to ensure that this initiative, which will focus mainly on ICT skills, is a success. And this is basically, at high level, what we are dealing with in terms of our strategy, in terms of going forward. My colleague, Segan, will take you through the financial figures.
Thank you, Lucas. Hello, the members. In terms of CISA's finances, as you heard my colleague Lucas deliberate on the plans and strategies that CISA has, now we need to translate those into numbers, and how do the numbers support what we're talking about? In this slide, you will see this is just a trading account. On the extreme right-hand column is the actual where we ended the year on March 2006. The middle column is the year being audited currently. Presently at the offices, there are all audited away. And going forward, the 7-8 budget, is that where we intend to go, supporting the initiative as we have described. In terms of the numbers, those are in billions. We plan to have a budget of 2.4 billion rand. We closed this year on 3.3 billion. The initial budget was around 3 billion rand, so we exceeded that budget in terms of the revenue. And we actually hit our stretch target there. Historically, Sita grows between 10 and 12% per annum on the revenue line. Having said that, it translates into a gross profit percentage within a band of 22-25%. If you look at the bottom of the screen, the gross profit percentage in the 2006 year was 21. The unaudited in the 2007 year is 20%. Our budget is aiming for a budget of 23% on the gross profit. Our operating profit is between 5 and 7%. That's our target band. And within that, the operating expense, which is cost that we need to deliver operation at the ground that does not generate revenue, if we try and keep it between a band of 14 and 17%. Alright. This slide here is just a breakdown of the cost of sales on the previous slide, just to give you further breakdown on that. Our labor bill is almost a billion rand in terms of the budget going forward. The other components are operating cost, service delivery, and depreciation is the capitalized expense that we write off. These are our business units within CETA, the first being business operations, shared services, strategic services, finance, the CEO's office, and the total. The bulk of CETA's business is housed within business operations. That's where what we call the factory. Shared services is our procurement leg, the HR leg, and the legal services and communication that's within that leg. Strategic services is the strategic imperative of CETA, like the blueprint, administration blueprint, the e-government strategies, all of those strategies sit within that business unit leg. In terms of CETA's balance sheet, CETA by and large has got, at any given point in time, the cost of our assets is close to a billion rand, but the carrying value thereof averages around 500 million, half a billion rand. Alright? The current assets, in terms of cash, usually we close the year, in the last 2 years, we close the year on a billion rand, roundabout. But because we're working within government and with government departments, the average cash is about half a billion rand at any given point in time during the year. Usually at March, when it's the end of the financial year, a lot of the government departments, as they are settling their debt and expiring their budget, they tend to pay a lot of the expenses during that time, which translates into a lot of cash in CETA's hands in terms of the outstanding account. The trade debtors, trade and other receivables, so it's about 531 is the budget for the 7-8 year, 556 was the actual in the 5-6 year, the total 46. That's our total. And total liability for the company, we've got share capital of 625 million, our retained earnings, that's the profits that we keep within the company, the profits and the surplus within the company, to help us self-sustain ourselves. Is budgeted at 533 million. CETA has one borrowing, which is a loan on a property that was created at the extension of CETA when the ex-info plan came out of Genel into CETA. It was obtained via a loan. That's the only liability that we have. Traditionally, CETA is a company that is restrictively, in terms of legislation, we cannot borrow money. Except with the express approval from National Treasury via the protocol of the DPSS. The post-retirement medical benefits, which is a liability, that is for members, affected members of CETA who transferred over from government departments, and now the company has a liability that should that person retire whilst in the service of CETA, they would get post-retirement medical benefits, and the budgeted amount there is 94 million rand. The other, our largest current liability is the trade creditors, that's our normal suppliers and vendors, which is between 400 and 500 million rand annually. And provisions, the current liability, which is the taxation and the prepayment. Okay, The theta being in ICT has got a refresh cycle. Usually it is 3 to 5 years, depending on the technology we're talking about. If you look at the 5-6 year, the carrying value of theta's assets was 477. And in that year, as you recall in the slide, the revenue was 2.9 billion. In the budgeted year, we're almost doubling at 887 billion worth of assets, and the revenue is only going to 3.4 billion, which doesn't track correspondingly, or there isn't a direct correlation between the two. The reason for that is the major investment in Theta's ICT infrastructure is to maintain what we have. Because it's ICT, the obsolescence is very quick. It's not like in another industry where you have an asset that can last up to 20 years. In ICT, the average life is between 3 and 5 years. So you have to be upgrading your systems and your infrastructure to in the tune of millions of rand to maintain those services. And while maintaining, technology changes, some costs decrease, but the advantage, the leverage advantage of the technology increases. Okay, and that's what we've got the budget. This is a CapEx budget that's broken down in terms of the different type of technologies that we have. We have major equipment, network equipment, which is the infrastructure, like this is alluded to, in terms of communication, the computer equipment, and then it's just office furniture and buildings and infrastructure. The point I'd like to draw your attention to is, in the previous financial year, the March 2007 year, the unspent portion of our CAPEX budget was rolled forward by the board of 117 million rand. The reason for that was, our intention was to have that money spent in the year, but because of certain processes and certain hiccups within the system, we did not get to spend 117 million. We spent about 70% of our budget, and that's the remainder. But the board has said, roll that forward, therefore giving us a budget of 477 in this current financial year. All right, in terms of cash, like I said previously, CETA is not allowed without permission to go on the market and borrow. So we can't have bonds, we don't have bonds, we don't have overdraft facilities. So we manage the company as a cash business. And in that, this cash flow statement actually shows what the company, the business, generates as cash and where that cash gets expensed into. So as you can see, the actual ended up at $1 billion in cash. We're budgeting for about 924 billion rand in cash. Most of that will go into the capital investment that we have to invest in our capital assets by cash purchases of those assets. Okay. All right. At this stage, I'd like to hand over back to my colleague to take us to peer comparison between CETA and our industry players, ICT companies within the industry.
Okay, in this area we look at companies that are doing similar business to CETA in India. We look at Business Connection, Gijima ST, Bio Technologies, and Dimension Bank. And as you can see on that graph, you see CETA is actually in comparison, actually more closely performing in line with Business Connection. On the next slide is earnings before interest and tax with those companies. And you see our earnings are lower than most of the companies, mainly because we don't make bigger money than most of these companies do. As a government entity, we have to offer government departments competitive prices. And the next slide looks at basically the productivity of employees within all these companies. And as you see, Business Connection is the leader there, and CETA is in line with those things in terms of comparison. In terms of productivity, we are in line with most of those companies. And this information actually was not done by CETA, it was done by a research company which shared the information with us. And last thing we'd like to bring to your attention, some of the challenges that we have with CETA. The first one is that, as my colleague Fabian has alluded to, we have what we call a constraining funding model. We cannot borrow anywhere money from anyone else. We have to fund all the projects ourselves. And this is basically a bottleneck, especially in line with the fact that we want to upgrade our next network to the next generation. And that's a very capital-intensive project. The next one is that we've got a very weak legislative blessing. What we mean by that is that we've got the FITA Act in one hand, but we don't have the power to ensure that participating departments have to comply with the requirements of the Act. So that's one of the bottlenecks here, because most of the departments utilize the services of FITA whenever they want. They're not complying with what the Act says. And the next one is that within the ICT industry, there's what we call a field strategy. And I don't think this is only for ICT. This is a generic issue within South Africa. And we have projects in place. For instance, within CITA, we've got what we call a youth intensive program, where we train our youth in terms of the kinds of services that we provide and the kinds of skills that we require. We are in the process of engaging with industry on the ICT Academy to be able to, together with industry, grow the ICT skills within South Africa. We are, part of our strategy is to have partnerships with industry so that we can work together and share skills in that regard and grow the skills base within the local economies in which we provide those projects. For instance, if we provide a project in Northwest, we have to utilize the companies that are based in Northwest as well as the local skills, the people that are based in Northwest, and transfer skills in this area. Then we have the normal internal training that takes place on a regular basis. And then the last one is that we've got what we refer to as a reluctant plan base. This is basically related to the legislation. We have realized that for us to ensure that our clients willingly utilize the services of CITA, we have to improve the way we provide the services to our clients. So that's one of the reasons why we engage with the client satisfaction survey to find out what are the issues that our clients are not satisfied with, and based on that, improve on those particular issues. So that's one of the key steps. These are the main challenges that we are facing within the company at this point in time. And with that, I would like to thank the Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Member for giving us the opportunity to present to you. And I will answer any questions that you have.
Thank you very much, Luca. Well, let's agree that FITA must be a service provider of choice, meaning that you must, client department must come to you because you provide a quality service. It's not a little shop, it's not a union. The employer used to say that any entity document that any employer employs here could be part of the union. That's the other thing. There's no choice. And South Africa is a democratic country. A democracy allows you to make choices and so on in terms of what you do. Therefore, in that respect, it's important. At the same time, I think the presentation you've had when we spoke to earlier on, to some, that would have preferred to be a provincial footprint of yourself in relation to leadership, internship, and everything. So to see, where are you getting the students? Do you have people from people's work? For instance, the Western States and so on. That's important. And I'm saying, that presentation is discovered that because and the money that you put aside for developing skills in the country. Important. Now, one of the most fundamental things you talk about e-government, I'm not sure if you have conducted a research to check the level of computer literacy in government. Because I must tell you now, it's very hard. People who don't know how to use a PC, Therefore, when you talk about e-government at that level, if the user cannot pay, it becomes very difficult. Even to transfer, then you prefer paper. You know, you go to the police, they tell the docket a lot. You go to justice, they tell the docket a lot. The case is, they cannot be any constitution. So on once you are there, and all that. But let me leave that to colleagues. It was just hopefully cool, you know. In terms of the same what is coming now, you know, you remove the cobweb so that the people can come. let's hear from the colleagues. Now to see state information technology is dangerous. And REN, you still follow REN and Bobonyo in that order.
Yeah. Chairperson, you forgive me, maybe I'll use another tone on this one. Yeah, just to thank them for coming here. In future, Morashwa, in our area, to Morashwa, the omission of an agent is supposed to Morashwa. Not to Morashwa. Yeah. Yes, but yes, it's something else. I was surprised. But yes, you cannot do. Yeah, just to Mr. Marashwa and Mr. Naidu, in the future, some of the documents, we don't need your mission and vision. As government, we have our mission and vision that transcends all departments. So this mission and vision is using our resources and time. We don't need this thing. Many departments have done away with those kind of things. That's an old thing. Oh, my mission and vision. No, in future, this kind of thing, we don't want to hear about your mission and vision. We want the core business of what we are here for. That's, we don't need this thing. I was surprised when I said this kind of thing. I can see you doing this thing, the mission and vision. This is, the old way of doing things. I don't think I'll be kind to sit and by so doing I'll go back to the chairperson. Because the very first thing, chairperson, look at that line. Look at that line. You check the metal departments that are making those services. Very few. How many departments if I check? Not more than 12. Very, very few. Now, that tells you something. Because, chairperson, you remember that at some point went to the disaster management center in Tutore. At the center there, they were saying, we're waiting for CETA until we've now given up. We've tried to buy on our own. Because CETA is not playing the ball. Where is the Department of Local Government here? They also said, he just out of churches to make use of CETA, because CETA is very slow. They can't move. You know, they can't. CETA can't move. Now, I don't know what must we do for CETA to work out. Check with Drakas, when we pass the law here in Parliament to establish this unit. People will say, but why? Because the department can buy on their own. We said, no, but we need someone who is going to even manage our prices and whatever. We have a whole, we know, we're singing hallelujah when we pass, when we establish this institution. But Sita, you are really not doing us any good about here. I think you have to improve services. Now, I want them, Jefferson, to categorically tell us, what are they going to do to change this thinking that the CETA is justice? You'll go there when you're not in a hurry. If you want, things that will be done after 6 months or whatever, it's fine. But when you need to take a thing to be done, they say, no, what am I going to do with CETA? Can they convince us today to say that it will change? Now, you go to for example, the third one on the finances here, it is very big. I want to, when you say other expenses, what is it? As a legislator, I must know when they said no. There is this amount here, but other expenses, how much is it? Let me check the slide number, page, for example. On page 20. Other expenses, what amount here? What is it for? For what? Other expenses. I mean, to me, I'm not part of this. I wrote this thing. And then this document, I'm taking it to my constituency office, where people come and my management team will come to see these things. Okay. When they ask what is this other expenses? What is it for? What is it? I don't know. This chart is so vague, Chairperson. I don't know what's going on with Peter. Unless this is ready, Chairperson, we, whom Mario called them before they were ready, I think we can be flexible and allow them to come back again to give us something that we'll talk to us so that as something that to say, here is what Peter is doing. But as it is now, Chairperson, unless if I'm a poor and a slow reader, because I can't just sit, it doesn't make sense to me this chart here. I'm glad you're saying one of the tasks is to radically improve service delivery. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I know you'll tell us now. And your focus on operational efficiency and effectiveness, that as well, maybe from today you're going to do it. But in this cluster, this committee is dealing with not only this department. We are dealing with 9 departments in this class. In all these departments, when I say that, why are you not using Twitter? They'll say, no, I don't know. What do you do with the business? We want to deliver as quickly as we can. Using Twitter, we will take up some time. Now, can you make us smile for today or Maharaj, I want to push. Make us smile, please. No, because really, I'm not impressed with what's happening here. Now, on the assets versus liability, it would be nice, even though in a catalog form, but just to know which some of your assets and some of the liabilities. Because I can only see a few figures here. But it would be nice just to indicate to me to say which are your assets you are referring to under this page 24 and the liability on the other page 23. Now the rollover of 117 million. Chairperson. See, it's a rolling over 117 million. Now, in financial terms, and turn into political terms, it means a service suffered somewhat because Sita could make use of it. I tried to listen to Unai who tried to explain why it happened, but I'm still not convinced. Such amount that is because of Amhara challenges. Which one can do? If a department can roll over that kind of money, 170 million, that must tell you something different. That must tell you something that something is not right. Unless it really we are just, I mean, Sita, I don't think it's the time for now for us to try and justify your existence. This was the time for you to say, here we are, look at what you're doing, but the department doesn't have to make news of it. Because now, there will be a time where we are going to put you in the same bucket, like the chapter 9 institutions, to justify your existence. The chairperson said, it now it wants to put it bluntly. Sita is, what do you call chairperson? When you use the word of choice, you said something about that's nice language.
The provider of choice.
If it gets there, you must not graduate. Sita will die in natural death.
Because now you must have that fire, as you said. And I don't think it's high in that time now. By now we're supposed to excel, to say, guys, here we are. Look at our check record. But the check record is telling us something else.
Now,
you're open to say one of the challenges that faces the future. It's the reluctance, say, by lions to use your service. Who can blame them? Who is the kind of management? Who can blame them? Chapter 10, I don't know. Maybe we caught them before they were ready, Chapter. Mother must just check another floor where we call sister. Just sister alone. Maybe they will sit nicely. Maybe they'll tell us some of their challenges. So we are still there. We love sister. When we pass the legislation to establish sister, parliament was so sober and we saw it a need, not just it was a necessity, not the luxury of sister in government. And maybe we need another day where we'll spend time with sister, where we are saying all these things. They'll tell us to say, why are they rolling over 117 million because of some other challenges which are not explained here? Which ones are those? And with this kind of people, that I must take my constituency office for my people to know that sister is there, they're working. I must explain this kind of amount. I don't know. But nevertheless, Chapter 10, whatever they're doing, we'll support them, but they must convince us. The last question, Chapter 10, is how many senior officials have resigned from CETA, and because of what? At times, I know we have the people, don't name them now here, Chapter 10. How many of those senior officials resigned and why? Many of them are here, and senior guys for that matter. Abba have leadership, Abba have leadership, but they're gone. Why? Yeah, in closing, Chair, I know they had a problem earlier on where they were going all over provinces to identify young kids and train them. If that's, they can just tell us if that problem is still on. If it's on which province is benefiting now, and how many learners have been identified. Other than that, I wish them all the luck. Thank you.
Thank you, Lona. Well, I think, when you make him put him as a stretch of them to the proposal you expressed by Umre, that we take this as a process, have another meeting, where we're able to deal with the missing components, and so on and so on, including, they are telling us that they have reached the employment equity, but there's no evidence that it's a structural. Just a way to be able to say it. I'm saying quite a lot of things that I think we'll talk about that are missing that they must make a presentation on. As we deal with this matter in a serious way. I mean, amongst those, I remember at some point the government bonuses. There was a lot of complaint from the minister, from the commissioner of safety and security, who commissioner. The National Commissioner said that your CEO was getting a lot of bonus, government bonus, while they are getting a lot of money from him. And the CEO was up here. Now he tell us about bonus. Because you are saying that what you have a bonus of 40,000, government bonus, is shit. But he's more giving a lot of money. So I'm thinking you can understand the government bonuses. What has happened also for them and so on? What are they now this year and all that? So that we are able to exercise our responsibility as an oversight body.
Thank you. Chairperson, Dr. Muhasho and Dr. Naidu. Hello. I think that let's not agree that we don't have average as a state, an entity that will not provide the quality service that we are expecting, especially in support of government departments. I'm just putting it in different ways, and that's what question is. You established an entity because you have thought very carefully about it. You have seen the need for that entity to be there in order to assist the rest of your systems to operate efficiently and effectively, and that's your objective. That's what your objective is saying. And once that entity does that, provide that kind of a quality service, the question of your reluctance and others goes away naturally. Once you detect the reluctance from your life, it says something about the service that you provide. You can respond to that. I'm just commenting, just making a general comment. You can respond to that. In other words, tell us why do you think there is this reluctance from your client's department. That's one part. With regard to your vision, I was looking at your vision, you know. It's talking about you looking at the globe to be a competitor, to be a role player. It's a very good thing. It's good to be that ambitious. So you don't do things that are not desired. You do things that you desire to do. And I was just wondering is that if you're not punching above your weight. Please tell us if that is not the case. In the light of the challenges that you have just highlighted also. Yeah, are you not punching about your weight? Something like that. The challenges in that or let me be very specific now, you know? Because I go northwest, I come from northwest. I've been to several police stations in the northwest. I believe they are your clients. I believe the police station starts with your client. I believe starts with your client. In actual day, at one point when we were there, they were saying they were expecting you to deliver certain equipment that they were. You got to wait here. They were doing their work in my own business. And I went there for the second time because I found that I was there to deliver something. But clearly, one of the challenges is that of the capacity to use those things at that level. I would assume that one of the things that you need to do is as you install the system, you should also ensure that people who are going to use them are well equipped so they work effectively for the objectives that they are intended for. So that's one job that I detected. Now you're talking about in terms of your procurement system, you're talking about ensuring that as you do the work, you know, you are making an example of Northwest. That your service providers that you should give work to should be people from that particular area. Isn't it? You said it. Now, I think Koshimukwe and the chairperson were very clear on this question. As a select committee, one of the things that we want you to talk to us, about from time to time, is to tell us exactly how many people have reviewed, how much of them. In all your systems, your learnership, internship, and so on. But also in terms of the service providers that you are giving work to, whether they are also using the services that you, the work that you have created for them to benefit the local community. And if indeed the very same service providers in Lake Mohasho are actually also providing the service, the quality service that is expected by a client. I'm raising this question because I'm just trying to check whether that area also does not contribute to the reluctance of your clients in terms of the services that you provide. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, there are very ideal goals that are set out in this presentation. One of them talks about, in terms of values now, it talks about citizen convenience. The other one under objectives, it says, under the objective, it says to improve service delivery to the public and to promote the efficiency of departments and public bodies. Under mission, it says to cost effectively enhance public service delivery through information and communications technology. These are very ideal and they respond directly to the outcries that we encounter on a daily basis in our constituencies in terms of citizen inconvenience, poor service delivery, ineffective and inefficient public service delivery. Those things. These respond directly to those. Now, what I would like the presenters to favor us with is their level of success as public representatives. These frustrations, through what we hear, they are transferred from the people that are subjected to them to us, and from their side, we would like them to say or to state their level of success in trying to achieve what they propose to achieve here. And coupled with that, I would like to ask them what they would attribute the fact that services in the private sector are better or more efficient than services that the public receives in the public sector, and what can be done in order to bring services in the public sector to the level or to exceed in terms of efficiency those of the private sector. Also, the presenters have told us about in their challenge weak legislative mandate, where they say they cannot force departments to comply with the requirements of the Act. That is in terms of the Act itself. Now, I would like them to say what they think should be done in order to remedy that problem and strengthen the enabling legislation they are referring to. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister. Thank you for the presentation, Brother Sita. My question is that here is written a concerning funding motion. I find it very strange because there is carry forward from financial year of 117, but they are saying they have constraint problem. And at the same time, I would like to know how many clients they train in Mpumalanga. I would like to know the numbers. And at the same time, I just want to find out, because here it's written office furniture and building infrastructure. Was that done in 2006 or 2005 or 2006? The furniture offices and the building infrastructure, it was done in these 2 years, or it was done long before now you record it this year? Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Ma'am Munyanda. Well, I think you've heard the issues that are raised. I would say that you respond to what you can, to what you can. We must take the debate in the next meeting. Because I must tell you, I talked to one of the officials, and Brian, you didn't know about this, it was behind the same thing. They were saying that the speaker was, they didn't understand what should they do. I think it's more one of the issues around institutional memory. As you are saying that the list has changed. Therefore, people could not remember what to do when they come to Parliament. One of the issues that they raised is that why should they come? Because they don't get any money from us. But more further to say, they prepared, I think it was Mr. Knight, just financial, which was bad. Then behind the scenes, they said, no, you must talk about your activities. Because money is a translation of activities, make them reality. Because you can have activities as a wish. But if you don't put money, they remain a wish or a dream. When you put money, then they are realized. They're not putting activities and all that. Now I'm saying you might find that is that element that is a witness. But one of the things that I'm raised, which we have tried to attempt to talk about, is that since 2004, Mr. Maputo has never came here. And that doesn't go down well to Parliament. In fact, the defiance of Parliament. You know, when Parliament calls officials or anybody for that matter, tell the Constitution that is clearly defined. But also, we have even closed a right to subpoena. You know, when we subpoena the Parliament's objective, we make it big in the media. It tarnishes your image completely if we do so. It tarnishes your completely if we do so. Because we'll be showing that you don't respect. Now, when we call people, we work with the most senior leadership. Because the minister will call her to come here, she comes. Now, the state agent must be able to come here and account. The senior leadership. Now, I'm saying Mr. Maputo has never said it. I'm going to convey that message. Because if he does that in Home Affairs, we'll be there also. That's right. That we respect Parliament. When you call the Parliament, you put everything aside and say, rush. Because parliamentarians are political animals. And they have an ability to embarrass people. And it becomes a very nasty situation to come without them. Now I'm saying, I think in future, that message must convey at home to say that this committee might not be taking it kindly when the senior leaders don't come to it. I will tell you, you know, in other departments, you chase them away. They go back to Pretoria, like correctional services and so on. They go back to Pretoria.
we can't talk to you. What is going to do?
And I'm saying that's the reason to take it, but I'm saying it's important then that you deal or not, you can deal with. Let me raise issues from my side and have a thing you can come to next time. I've talked about performance bonuses. The other thing is a retention strategy. We have a retention strategy. As much as knowledge management strategy. Because it's important that, because if that were there, the lacuna that we have now would not be here. If we had that, so in terms of say what needs to be done and so on. Now, I think my colleagues have raised about programs that are concrete that you can feel that are being done in various areas and one of the major things to me that I think I appreciate that your preference, people preferring you is increasing before the best. Because I must tell you, even if you talk to PTSA, you find a real talk about state-type funding. Their hearts were always heavy. You would find that people are struggling because I think the institutions were not living up to them. And we told them that it's their responsibility to ensure that the institutions are implementing their mandate accordingly. But generally, we find that the enthusiasm is not there, even from that quarter. Now, you are raising issues here. I mean, this thing of turnaround strategy, I think we'd like to see it speeded up in ensuring that your turnaround time. Can you talk about what is your turnaround time? So that people know that if they give something to yourself, it is able to, it can be dealt with simply. In a way, I think that is very important. But one of the other things that I think I wanted to touch on is what is being raised here. The other, Morena has raised the issue of the other in terms of the expenditure, but also in terms of the income. When we talk about other, to me, on the budget, I think you can explain that because we're dealing with money. These monies are important money because they are taxpayers' money. Therefore, must be able to relate them accordingly. The other question is around the open cost. I mean, Mark Shatwell came with us. He raised the open cost in terms of ICT. Have you mentioned Mark Shatwell as a South African? And to look at what his ideas and how to take this thing forward. Because he was saying that can rival Bill Gates, open source, in terms of what has happened. Now, we want also to hear yourself. If I have a child or a learner who is completing IT, which second can I say that you can place that child on a learnership or internship? As a state institution. And can I say that in terms of increasing what you are saying is a lack of skills in terms of the ICT? And specifically, which area, because ICT is a positive at the moment, which area specifically can you say that you have a shortage in the country? Because institutions, they are channeling and producing people out there. And what's the backlog, as you check, in terms of the IT area? I would pause there and say that let's take it like that. On the week legislative mandate, I think you must justify yourself that we talked about that. How to justify yourself. So that our task here is to make law. And we do that to let you know in our base, in our address, to enjoy it. he was at a Kotaka Common. But of course, before we do that, we must justify why we take the bottle out and the bottle away. Bagare, Mutanaju, over to you. You are general manager, both of you. I'm not sure who is with you.
Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman, and thank you, Honorable Members. We'll go through this, a lot of questions that have been raised. We'll go through them under your guidance as best as we can. And those that we cannot answer here, we do commit to give you an answer in written format. I'll hand over to my colleague to deal with the non-financial matters at this stage.
Thank you for very extensive questions. I must confess that it's not the first time I hear these questions. Most of the questions that you raise, there are those that are very, very extensive that came from you with a lot of the passion from the closeness that you have with the people down there. So I'll answer the questions that I've got answers to and those that we do not have answers to, especially the things that require about statistics as to how many people and all those things. Some of those things won't be able to answer immediately. But on issues of the issues that we presented today and some of the related issues, I will be able to answer to you. The very first question raised by the Honorable Chairperson was that Peter must be a service provider of choice. And this is, I'm going to leave this the issue of the reluctant client base that everybody has raised for that, because for us to be a service provider of choice, the client base will willingly come, not be reluctant to come to see them. So as I said, I pointed to a number of initiatives that CETA is engaging with. First of all, we said we depend on our client base to give us information about how we provide services through to them. And to be able to do that, we utilize our customer services index. And the statistics that you see on the index don't actually say much, it's just a statistic. What is important about that is that within the statistics, within the customer service survey, there is information about why our customers are not satisfied. And those things we utilize as a basis of improving our services to our clients. We've got what we call a service improvement program, whereby we list all the issues from the customer survey. And based on that, we prioritize the issues that the customers have raised to ensure that we improve their service. The reluctance is basically, we put it there because it's a weak point on our side. It's something that we need to ensure that it's not reluctant anymore. Customers want to come, not the other way around. So hence the initiative that we're dealing with. Also on the issue of citizen convenience, or as I think Mr. Musaki said, Mr. Musaki mentioned the issue of punching across the way. There was an issue about citizen convenience, but I think yeah, Mr. Musaki raised that citizen inconvenience instead of citizen convenience. Mr. Manier. What we're trying to do, that one of the reasons we did that is because we started to engage with municipalities through our municipality blueprint to ensure that we also address the issues of citizens at the municipality level. So we drafted a strategy called the municipality blueprint strategy, whereby we engage with municipalities and municipality managers, as well as DPLD, to ensure that we extract information about what are the key issues and the key systems and processes that CETA can assist with. And based on that, we developed a municipality blueprint to try and address those issues at the municipality level. As I said earlier, currently we are busy with a pilot at Ubuntu, whereby we're going to use that municipality as a pilot to see whether our solutions that we have will work. If it works, then we'll roll it out for other municipalities. The chairperson raised the issue about provincial footprint, specifically linking it with learnership and skills development, and how much money do we spend on that. in terms of the amount of money, the figures that we have here are at a very high level. But our memberships are what we call national membership programs. I can actually tell you that within my team, actually, I have got five candidates, from two from Free State, one from Eastern Cape, one from Western Cape, that are actually intense that are working in my team. They started last month. So we do actually invite everybody in the country through advertisement to participate in the membership program. And based on that, there is a selection criteria that is utilized for people to apply to become membership in IDC. There are prerequisites. I think some of the people have to have either a diploma or a degree, but I'm not 100% sure as to what are the prerequisites for becoming a membership, which will make it difficult for me to answer the last question. So if somebody just graduated, can they be surely placed within FISA? That question I cannot answer immediately. So we'll ensure that we give a written response paper. And then another issue about us doing research on computer literacy in government. You know, the issue of ensuring that our users are ready to utilize the system. And I think Mr. Musaki also mentioned the issue of police stations doing work manually because they're not sure how to utilize the existing system. We actually, in terms of that, the computer literacy, we know for, there was a survey done, I think it was 2 years ago, with, in conjunction with the Department of Education, whereby we wanted to do e-education across the board, which was the initial survey that was done around e-education. And we know that there is an issue of computer illiteracy throughout the country. It's very vast. But one of the examples I can give is that some of the initiatives that we're doing, we are trying to utilize the technology that people are more familiar with. Hence, we utilize, for instance, cell phones. Most of our people can utilize cell phones. And most of our e-government solutions are geared around solutions that people are more familiar with. Whereas some of the other things we will have to address as an education program gradually, because we cannot override and ensure that everybody is different. So it's a gradual program. For instance, you remember, I mean, with banks, they introduced ATMs and then said, well, what if they just grab bank books and everybody is using ATMs? So it is going to happen as we go along. People will ultimately get used to the kind of technology that we try. And cell phones are the easiest of them all. Hence, we focus in more of our efforts on cell phones and what we call community centers, whereby people will go into those centers and find literate people to take them through the process and assist them in getting differences. Those are some of the things that are part of our e-government practice to ensure that if people cannot utilize the technology, there will be somebody there to assist them in taking the form. You've asked about the proof of EE, structural relationship. If you look at, for instance, I can only give you statistics, not the overall statistics of FISA at the moment, but at our executive level, we've got two ladies and two gentlemen as our executive, which is 50%. In terms of the overall organization, I think our statistics are more than 40%. But in terms of the details, as well as the details at the job level, we do have a report which we submit every year to the Department of Labor, and we can avail that. We can got the latest details for the previous financial year. Well, Mr. Mugwena did advise us that, you know, there's no need for mission, vision. You must stick to the core business. And I agree with you. The most important thing is, are we making a difference out there to our clients? And that's one of the key things. If you look at our strategy, the hereditary staff, not what we call hereditary staff, you know, there are some people that will insist on coming up with a business plan because we have to submit our business plan somewhere within government. Some people insist on following the stand for that. But the core of our strategy is mainly the initiatives that we are getting ourselves to deliver, not the hereditary staff. But on the issue of us being a global leader in public sector ICT, which is the issue of Mr. Musaki saying we're fighting above our weight. Now, we actually, what we mean by that is we want to be recognized as a leader in public sector ICT. But we we cannot surpass all countries. There is a, normally, for instance, in terms of globally, the surveys made or done around some core issues of IT, like they look at key governments. They say, who is the leader in key government? Who is the leader in there? So we have to play a role in those particular issues. We cannot, for instance, if we're providing a service to the public sector, there's no competition in South Africa. So when do we benchmark ourselves against? We have to benchmark ourselves against global. You asked about the number of departments utilizing civil services. Mr. Mugwe, you asked that question. And you actually said you think they are very few. Actually, there's a lot of them that utilize it. Some of them utilize it on an ad hoc basis. That's why if you saw the list of the departments that we put there, and you add the amount was added up because we didn't include some of the other departments because of the amount that we get from them are very negligible. But in terms of the high number of services that we provide, it's mostly around the departments that were initially moved during the time that you approved the enactment of CIPA. That's where some of the other bigger departments, like departments of social development, that came in with a lot of projects to CIPA. But we do provide services, but then the issue is, are we optimally providing those services? Hence, the pressing of service improvement in our current strategy to ensure that we improve the services to our clients. And that will address the issues of responsiveness, which have been raised. For instance, you gave an example of this, a question around the disaster recovery center, whereby the officer has not been responsive to the requirements of the client. So those are some of the things that we will pick up from our customer survey and ensure that we deal with those. And to be able to, you raise the question about changing the perceptions of departments so that they can use it with you. The only way we can do it is by providing these services. So, as we go along, we'll be benchmarking ourselves against other industry players, benchmarking ourselves or finding out from our clients whether they're satisfied and improving the services. We have good points in certain areas, we have excellent service delivery in other areas, but we do not excel everywhere. So, we have to ensure that in terms of what has been mandated to CISA, we provide a very good service. And that is something that will ensure that it's taken back to the organization. And it's a very painful point because all of you raise that particular issue. And we have to make sure that it gets addressed. In terms of finances, I think, we'll explain the issues of the other that was not explained and the issues of you raised issues about finishing and building, those kind of issues, and final numbers. But in terms of the questions, for instance, around how many people were changed in Mpumalanga, we'll have to respond to that in writing because I don't have the statistics at the moment. He also explained the rollover of that 117 million, why it was rolled over and what are the implications, because he said, if quid pro quo, if he didn't need the money, he could have used it for something else somewhere. So I think, you raised the issue of, I think it was Mr. Mugwena again, the issue of why, how many senior officials have resigned from CISA and why. In terms of that, I cannot give the statistics, but normally within ICT, the attrition rates are very high, more than 20%. But people are moving around, either within government departments or within industry players. One of the reasons why we decided to work with industry on the ICT credit to ensure that if we lose skills somewhere, there's excess of skills somewhere where we can utilize. So we'll try and utilize that as a basis of developing the skills, and which will address the issues of succession planning that was raised by the Honorable Chairman. So we'll try, but there might be valid reasons. Some of the people might be disgruntled with the manner in which they were dealt with. Those are the issues that if we can have specific names, we can delve into those and find out the statistics and report on those. But generally, we lose people on a regular basis. The attrition rate in CISA is about 8%. The whole company, not within individual, either regions or individual departments, but in general, as a company, it's about 8%.
every month we lose somebody to the organization. And we also battle to replace people because there's no skills in the industry. The issue of performance bonuses, we will respond to those. I cannot respond to that now. The issue of why we are, the chapter has raised the question, why are we giving performance bonuses and what are they? And then also the issue of what the Commissioner of Police raised, why certain people are getting bigger bonuses. Those are the issues that I will respond to tonight. You mentioned, Mr. Chair, that since 2004, Mabuse has never come to Parliament. And you expect senior management or senior leaders of the organization to be here, and you're not taking it kindly. Sita has no respect for Parliament, and Parliament can set put out whoever they want, whenever they want. I agree with you, that's a very serious issue that we'll address it with the organization and ensure that they give you a response in that regard. Why are people not having it? It's not acceptable, we'll try and address that. Mr. Manyos, you raised the issue of what is our level of success in terms of our strategy. So you are the one who has been inconvenienced. We can only gauge that the satisfaction of our clients based on the service that they respond to. But in terms of the projects that we engage with, we can give you a list of key projects, especially those that touch citizens. We can be in a position to give you a list of those projects as well as where they were implemented. And then you can be able to judge from there. And you mentioned that why are private sector services better than public sector services? And what are we doing about it? I don't know if you like my answer, but what I see is, we as people, we are mainly an enabler to government departments. There are underlying things that ensure that service is delivered. You can, I think, Mr. Mosek raised the issue of having a system, but people not utilizing it. Sometimes you can have the best IT system, but if people don't use it, there will still be service delivered, and there will be disgruntlement across the board. So we will try and ensure that we train people properly in terms of the solutions that we provide so that they can ensure that the service delivery is comparable to the private sector. But it takes two to come. Some of the people that have to ensure service delivery have to take accountability as well. They have to work together as teams, CISA as well as our partner departments, to make sure that service delivery is ultimately adequate to the system. That's why one of our ultimate objectives is citizen convenience. Because if we don't touch the citizen out there, we have failed that system. Because that's the ultimate goal of government as well, to satisfy our people. The issue of constraining binding, I think I discussed that. The carryover, Sagan will talk about the carryover. Do we have a retention and knowledge management strategy? Yes, we do. Maybe it's not transparent how we implement that, but we do have that. What is the turnaround time of our strategy and of our services? The turnaround time of our strategy is 3 years, the current one, so which will be in the next 2 years, it will be finished. And there are specific initiatives in our strategy document which we have to implement within that 3 years. And those are clearly detailed in there, and we can make this available, which is also available on our internet. But in terms of the turnaround time of our services, those are determined in line with the government department which we provide services to through a service level agreement. But I think it was really the issue of, I think Mr. Mugwena, you raised the issue of responsiveness. When a customer requests for something, CISA responds too late. Those are some of the issues we have to work on. That is the weak point that I think we have to work on. So that we are responsive. When a client says there's a problem, then we must make sure that, okay, we'll respond to them within a specific period of time. You raise the
association of OSF and Mark Shuttleworth, GSPF, engaged with Mark Shuttleworth on several occasions. He was also part of our GovTech conference last year, when we were discussing the topic of OSF. Our chief technology officer is working very closely with him. We set up a project management office which deals with the implementation of OSF across South Africa. And then we also utilize the strategy that Mark has in order to make sure that OSF succeeds. So we are working very closely with him. And Minata is working very closely with him. And those are some of the key questions that we raised. And Fabian will address the issues of finance. And then if there's any follow-up questions, then we can address those.
All right. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members. CETA as an organization is established under the Companies Act, meaning it's a PTY limited. And as such, CETA doesn't get, like the Honorable Chairperson mentioned, get a budget vote that where funds are transferred from the national coffers into CETA. CETA's engagement model is via service level agreement, where we contract on an annual basis with customers for services. If our customers don't like us, they don't utilize our services and therefore they don't pay for it. So from that point of view, it's not funds that we deal with public funds, yes, by providing the services that we do, but the national, when the budget is allocated, there isn't an allocation made directly to CETA or even via DPSA to CETA. So CETA's revenue and expenses is self-sustaining. Therefore, when we talk about rolling forward, we're not rolling forward as a government department would roll forward funds. But I will get back to that when I'm dealing with the issue of 117 million. To address the one issue about what is in the other expenses, as Member McQuena raised, and what is in other income as the chairperson, the Honorable Chairperson has raised. In other expenses, basically there's only three categories in there. The one is training, that you can train people in terms of our strategies. There's R&D, research and development costs in there. Because of ICT, certain parts, if you look at ICT across the spectrum like you have alluded to, there is certain part of technology that talks about leading edge technology, and then the bottom spectrum is things where the universities and the educational institutes don't train those people. But those systems exist within government. So CETA has that responsibility to train those people, which is a hard responsibility. The reason is, if you think about it, how do you train a person that tell them the job you can have is only for this fiction, but when you go to the market, that technology doesn't exist out there because it's 20 years old. So that's the challenges we have in terms of the leading edge of technology and the historical legacy system. Therefore, there's an R&D expense in that other expense as well. The third category is the chairperson had requested, the performance incentives. Those amounts are in that line item. Okay? And that is also tied to the retention strategy, because the retention strategy we have an element of monetary remuneration around that. Okay. In terms of other income, as you had mentioned, Honorable Chairperson, there are by and large categories in there as well. The majority of it is interest income that CETA earns on its bank balances, and that makes up about 90% of our figures. The other items are very small. It is to do with the rental income. CETA, certain spare capacity CETA has on its properties, we rent out. There are some departments, for example, in our Centurion offices, the one floor, National Treasury is being has taken that whole floor out, and there's an agreement between CETA and National Treasury for rental on that. So rental income is in there, and then CETA has cafeteria, and where we provide food and beverages to the staff, where they pay for that. So that revenue, which is very small, it's not really revenue, is sitting in that line item as well. Okay. So I've covered the other expenses, and I've covered the other income. If we want the
the precise amount, we can get that for you based on the budget and on the actual figures as well.
What are you looking for?
The figures are actually, if you look at our 2005-2006 annual report, in the annual report when it gets published and also presented here at CETA, those line items are shown separately as well, but for presentation here we just group them together. In terms of the 117 million, what has happened with the 117 is only to do with capital expenditure. It has not got to do with operating expenses. The capital expenditure, as we had explained, goes directly into our infrastructure to deliver services. Now, it does not mean that if we did not spend the 117, that services were hindered or not delivered. This actually goes to delivering and enhancing the quality of those services in terms of the technologies that we have running in there. What had happened in this year was, initially when the budget had been done, we had anticipated, as a management team, that 117 would have been spent come the 31st of March 2007. When we reached that point and the budgets were done, if I can turn your attention to page 26 on the slide. Initially, the capital budget that was presented to the board requested 360 million rand. And they had approved that. When we came to a point where we did not spend the 117 on the capital infrastructure, and the 117 is mostly in the hosting environment, which is the mainframe environment, and the network, the converged communication environment. Then the board had said, fine, because that capital expenditure was unspent, CETA has to stop funding but increase the capital budget for the 7-8 financial year. Therefore, our budget for CAPEX went from the 360 to the 477, which CETA will self-fund. It's not like, you know, we'll get the money from either GPSA or some government department. It's throughout the services we provide. All right. Then the issue of, Member Nayanda, you had a question on the buildings and infrastructure. You wanted to know in which year that was. In terms of the budget, that is future expenses. So it is from April 2007 to March 2008. That is the money we intend to spend on furniture and equipment for our offices. CETA has got a very wide footprint. We have got 39 sites. Four of those sites are where we own the property. The others is where we rent those properties because of our customer base. We are in places where business out there will not be, because it doesn't make business sense to be in that place. We have taken initiatives, for example, in KwaZulu-Natal, in Port Shepstone, we rent a house for about our team that manages certain of our customer bases out there. Even in Vishu, even though we've got an office in Port Elizabeth and East London, we've also got a satellite office in Vishu as well, because our customer base is there. And it is our intention always to be as close as possible to our customers that we know firsthand. And sometimes our partners just don't want that, so we have to carry that burden. And you can see in terms of the numbers that my colleague has presented, our profit, that is not our main driver as an institution. Therefore, there's a lot of squeeze on our profit. The main aim is to deliver value for money and also savings to our customers. That is primarily, and secondly, it's the profit, because the profit we generate, we plow back into the company to establish the infrastructure and deliver on what we are mandated to deliver. So the office furniture and equipment is for what we need to, in this year, to, what we need to establish in those regional offices where they are, and also in office and the building we own. Building and infrastructure is also to be capital investment on those properties where we have to maintain those properties in a certain condition. The reason for that is ICT technology is very specific. If you want to put a mainframe in a specific location, it's not just a matter of putting this machine over there. You need to actually have false floor where they remove the floor and they go and put in a home false floor under which tables run. That's the first thing. The second thing they would do is they would put in air conditioners because those equipment run at high heat or get very hot. Therefore, the room has to be at a certain temperature. Over and above actually going and putting a mainframe in that environment. So it's that creation of the environment that we see in building and infrastructure as well. The other element is also the security around those machines. The CCTV, alarm system, security guard, whatever it is, that cost is also included in these. What was the other finance? Improving our structure, 120 million. I think that is about it for finance.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, I think the other thing that, I'm going to clarify two things here. One is that when I say that I didn't directly say that Mr. Mabuso undermined the committee. I say the non-attendance of leadership might be construed as undermining the committee or committee. I have not yet reached that level. Because when I reach that level, I know what to do. Now, I just raising an issue that we can take it back, that we are not impressed by that. The second thing I was not questioning is why bonus is given. I mean, it's an part performance. What I was raising was that it was an issue around the amount that was raised by the commissioner, not. And it's not something that we have to respond to claim. It's something that we're raising, but I was asking the question of bonuses. At what level are you now? So we are able to check, of course, check the trend. Of course, we know that ICT is an area of a gap field that you need to incentivize to the main organization and so on. I don't think I understood. I would say that you see, what, if you're an employer of choice, if you're a provider of choice, the native, who not the collapse, native, not the transport network, key native, who not the collapse. SAA network sometimes collapses for the whole day. You find that you can't book because it has collapsed. Now, because of many customers come in and so on, and the system is up, it collapses. Now, I'm saying the scope is there. The important thing is to provide a service with speed, must respond. And what is people must know that they can rely on you, you are bankable as an organization. And therefore, because you are saying that you are not driven by profit, therefore it means your prices are competitive. I think that's what you are saying, telling us. Now it means that you must be responsible. So they can take you, government things like the take the industry, a lot of work that is there. And we hope that when we meet next time around, next year, you'll be a service provider of choice. You'll just tell the last organization. I'm not sure if my colleague wants to hear anything. That is it.
I have a question, Professor. You know, I don't know how we feel that one has a project chairperson, I think, that of being a service provider of choice. We raise a question that says, well, how about the people that you are subcontracting? Are they giving you value for money? I'm not saying you must respond to that. And we said, look at what you have in province. And maybe in the other question that you are going to give, that we're going to give in writing, you could give that to us. But I think, Chairperson, at the very same proposal that was made by Oshimoto, which is something that we've been doing the whole of this week about the workshop or something like that, strategic question with the entity. Oshimoto raised that question, and I think we must support that.
I think what you're saying is that let's have a workshop with us, maybe half a day or a day, discuss the issues, so that we're able to handle everything at that level. But in addition to that, I'm not sure why it would deprive us to come to a conference. We talk about the calm. The committee is excluded. I'm not sure if that's the deliberate that you are not invited in this activity. We hope that next time we'll be invited. Of course, I think we are about to reach the end of our discussion. We appreciate that you managed to come. Of course, I mean, when you come from far, you're not coming to that is heavy at the back to say, no, well and good. You must know this is a panel and therapy. And then Mr. Knight, you might baptize fire. You take it as part of the process. Like an initiation. You know, when you arrive at a particular place and go, just take it, man. When you go back home, you are, no. When you meet yourself, you are to say, directly. You are not saying, practical. We want to say then, your attendance came well. And again, the people we will invite you to join us on the lunch. The people already sitting there and trying to complain and saying who are not were taken some time to go and sit. Mr. Knight, do you want to say anything as a way of closing?
Just as a word of closing, I'd just like to thank the committee for this opportunity. Initially when we heard, I think the committee has not heard from Sita in the last 2 years. That's what I was told yesterday. And I was disappointed by that. It was the first time I heard that. But it was really, for me, it was a privilege to be here. And just to put, you know, just this is my own personal opinion. You know, Sita is an organization that has so much of potential. It has got the ability to touch every single individual in this company, in this country, even though the individual may leave the country at a certain stage. It still has got the ability to touch. And I'm very passionate about the company, very passionate in the sense that I can see what it can do for the country and how it can help enhance and build this nation into what we can be. And also to make it in the forefront of people's thinking. For example, if we think electricity in South Africa, we think Eskom. If we think certain other aspects as well, we think of a certain company. Like if you're on a flight, you think SAA. And those are government institutions. My passion is on my thinking of vision and heart is when you think ICT, you think Sika. Not Telco. Or anybody else, you think Sika. And that's what it is. And I think there is resistance to that because the delivery we can do is totally different, really different. That's from my side. Thank you.
Well, that's a very good thing. We appreciate that very much, Sakarino. It means that you will retain the organization because you share the vision of the organization and the potential. And I think that is the key, depending on how to work together and so on and work with other people in the process. And that's why they interested the workshop, understand what is happening, so they are able to ensure that they are coming to use your services, including the native, and transform them somewhere, so they don't collapse. Because I'm not sure what they say now. Yes, the future collapse was billions that is lost in the process. But we want to thank you very much for coming and hope that when you come back home, you'll go safe. And in future, we'll be able to think as a team, we think together. Thank you very much. The meeting is officially closed.
Thank you.